Hey everyone, just taking a quick 15 seconds to let you know that my new book, The Fitness Mindset, Eat for Energy, Train for Attention, Manage Your Mindset, and Reap the Results, which hit the bestseller list within 24 hours of its release, is now available to buy on Amazon. So if you're looking for everything you need to get into incredible shape and the mindset to keep it forever, be sure to check it out. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy this week's episode.
You're listening to the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where Irish fitness entrepreneur Brian Keane answers your questions and interviews leaders in the world of fitness, health, mindset, and natural wellness to share tips about all things that can support you on your journey to becoming the best version of yourself and build a bulletproof mindset to get whatever you want out of life. Come join the fun.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is going to be a little bit of a different one, a lot more businessy in today's episode. I got sent in some great questions from my boy Sean Cunningham, who's actually doing his LCVP project in a Leaving Cert, and he wanted to talk to a successful entrepreneur. Again, success meaning whatever success means to you and each person, but in terms of scalability and reach, and I suppose my ability to help people and work with the amount of people I work with, that obviously is his determinant for success. So he sent me in these questions, and as soon as I saw them, I was like, okay, this will actually make a really cool podcast episode. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through them and expand on each one. I know a lot of people that are following the podcast either have their own business or their own side hustle, or they're a personal trainer or an online coach, or else they'd like to go into that industry someday, either after school or after college, or work as their side hustle and then go into fitness full time. So hopefully this episode will provide a lot of value to my background and my past in terms of how I got into business, how it was going, the challenges that I faced, and the mistakes that I made. And again, I put in my book, The Fitness Mindset, one of my favorite quotes, that the smart people learn from their mistakes and the really sharp ones learn from the mistakes of others. And hopefully this episode will be one of those for anyone that is interested in doing something fitness in their business, in their life, in their career, in any way, shape, or form, and basically my path on it, and the advice and tips that I'd offer on that. Okay, so first question, why did you go into business? So one of the reasons that I went into business first, a fitness business, was I always wanted to do something that I would do for free. And that's how fitness was for me. I effectively started as a one-to-one personal trainer, and it actually took me 3 attempts to get my business off the ground. I went broke. I've spoken on the podcast before about one of the reasons that I'm so good with money right now is because I went broke the first time I started a business and had to go through my couch to try and get money for the bus. It was the only time in my life that I had zeros in my bank account. I had nothing. I was embarrassed. I didn't want to tell any of my friends. I was going through the couch trying to find coins for the bus. And it was a very, very subjective low time. I know in the greater scheme of life, it was very, very minor and high end of first world problems. But I was so embarrassed about my situation. My mum and dad had given me 5,000 euro to get my business off the ground, and I blew it within 6 weeks. I went and rented a gym space. I bought equipment and spent all this crazy money on without even having any clients or without having a successful business or even having a ground or foundation of business. And for me, one of the reasons that I wanted to go into business was I wanted to do something I wanted to do for free. Like I was a teacher. For those of you who don't know or are new to the podcast, I was a primary school teacher for 4 years. That was my job. It's what I did. And going into business was down to I wanted to do something I would do for free. I grew up loving fitness, training. I've been lifting weights since I was 13, joined a gym at 16, been seriously training at 19, went on to become a professional fitness model, competitive bodybuilder, played GAA all my life, played at my club, won an All-Ireland with my club. I've done a lot in sports and fitness, and it was always my passion and the thing that I loved and would do for free. And one of the reasons I went into business was I just wanted to work in that space. I wanted to work within GAA. I wanted to work within fitness. And I'm very fortunate now that that's who I work with. My top 50 program is people that are trying to change their composition, trying to lose dress sizes, flatten out their stomach, build a six pack, get bigger arms. My GAA players are people who were me that wanted to build their body composition, get a six pack, get more muscle, and improve their performance on the pitch. And they're the people that come through my programs now. They're the people I work with. And the reason I wanted to get into business was I wanted to do a job I would do for free. And I'm very fortunate to be in the position that that's exactly where I am now. Next question. How did you know that this career was for you? I knew that this was the career that I was meant to be in when I consistently woke up every single morning knowing that this was the job that I would do for free if I had €1 billion in my bank account. When that happened day after day, and we all have days when we're not feeling as up for it, we're not feeling great, but when I was 80-90% of the time waking up realizing that I would do this for free, so the podcasts I make, the videos I record, the Q&As that I do, the books that I write, I would do it all for free if I had $100 million in my bank account. That's how I knew that the career was for me. Next question. What role did education play in your life? It's funny because I'm a high-end believer in that your mess becomes your message, and everything that you've done in your life has guided you to become the person that you've become and who you are at this moment in time. And even though my traditional role through secondary school and college and university didn't necessarily just direct me to who I am now, it definitely molded some of the skills that I have. I didn't have a very good Leaving Cert. I was terrible in secondary school. I'm the high end of the, and I still do this to this day, I understand the things that I'm interested in inside out. You ask me something on fitness, nutrition, or mindset, or psychology, or economics, or my own personal interests, and astrophysics, the quantum mechanics, the things that interest me that I have a little bit of knowledge baseline in, I can delve into those subjects. If I have no interest in it, I know nothing about it. I have no idea how to put anything together in my car, or anything to do mechanically, or putting things together, because I have no interest in them. And that's really made me struggle in school, alongside having pretty bad dyspraxia, so my writing was pretty illegible. Having that combination of not being interested in the topics I was doing with being super interested in the ones that I did like lent me to doing pretty poor in Leaving Cert. I had an amazing grade in English, in biology, in home economics, and I just passed everything else. And I was fortunate enough then to go into college and third level education, where I was allowed to type everything up. Which again allowed me to really excel in that area, because I was doing business, I was doing marketing, I was doing a subject that I really, really enjoyed, and was able to delve into the psychology behind why people do what they do, and I loved that. And then when I became a teacher, which is effectively what I did for 4 years, I was a primary school teacher and then became a personal trainer and strength and conditioning coach and all these other nutritional sports nutritionists on the side. It was my side hustle for 4 years. I honed my speaking ability, so my ability to step in front of a classroom of 30 students, and sometimes when you were getting observations in the UK system, it allowed me to really hone my speaking and be very clear in my words and break down ideas into the simplest form. So I think education played a massive role for me in an untraditional sense, that being able to speak in front of a classroom and break down complicated ideas, which is effectively what I do now. I try and break down the reason my book was such a bestseller. It was 8 weeks on the bestseller list and actually went back on the bestseller list again, was down to the fact that I was able to break down a lot of ideas into the simplest forms. I love the Einstein quote, that things should be made simple, but no simpler than they need to be made. And that's exactly how what I try and do with fitness and the people I work with, is break down the nutritional strategy so that you know why you're doing something. You're doing this training system because you're trying to tear more fibers down. You're trying to increase your heart rate, because when you understand why you're doing something and you're able to break it down into language that people can understand, which is effectively what primary school teaching was when I was working with my fifth and sixth classes, you're breaking down those ideas. It allowed me to hone that skill that I was able to cross over directly when I started a fitness business. So in the traditional sense, it didn't play a massive role, but in the untraditional sense, it was really, really helped me hone my skills, and it's probably been one of the reasons that I've been able to have a quote-unquote successful business, and I've been very, very fortunate to be able to do that. Next question. What were the barriers along the way to setting up and running a business? My biggest barriers initially was my lack of understanding of how to run a business. And one of the best pieces of advice I ever offer anybody now, and I do consultations with people on their business, personal trainers, online trainers particularly, and one of the main things that I do when we're having that conversation, so generally you send on all the information, the things you're struggling with beforehand, and then we work through them and I tell you exactly what steps you need to do, and then you go off and do that. And one of the barriers that I had when setting up first was not understanding how to run a business, not understanding how to do my accounts, not understanding how to market to people, not understanding how to advertise, not understanding how to sell. Because at the end of the day, selling your product and selling your service is going to be the lifeblood of any business, because if you don't have people doing your programs or you don't have people coming to your service, you can't keep your business running. So in the beginning, my biggest struggle was not understanding basic business. And I have an honors degree in business, but it doesn't provide you for what the business world does. It's so ironic that and I've been through the education system. I've got 2 degrees. I have an honors degree in business. I've got a teaching degree. And this is why I tell a lot of people that that's not necessarily the right road for everybody, because even though you get a basic understanding, a lot of my own economic knowledge and macroeconomic knowledge and what goes on in the world and microeconomics and what goes on in a national and your own county level, that is what college and business taught me. Didn't teach me how to run a business, because that's not how you learn how to run a business. You learn how to run a business like you learn to walk. You fall down and you get up. You fall down and you get up. You try all things and you see what works. And then you go to the people who have done it and you get them to tell you what mistakes they made. So the biggest piece of advice I can offer to anybody is go to the people who have done what you want to do, that are in the position you want to be in. And either go through their mentorship programs or go through their consulting or follow their programs or read their books or do whatever it is that's going to help you cut your own learning curve in terms of running the business, so you don't make the same mistakes that they made. And the biggest struggles I made was not understanding how basic business ran. That's why it took me 3 attempts to get it off the ground. And it's probably one of the reasons that I've been very, very tight with my ship, because a small leak can sink a big ship, and I don't let any small leaks come in anymore. Okay, next question. Pros and cons of being self-employed. So right now I'm not self-employed. I run an LLC, so I have a company now. So it's a bit different to being self-employed. But when I was self-employed, when I started first, the pros are that you get to run off your own time largely. You can maneuver around different times of the day so that you can basically work the hours you want to work. However, that's probably the biggest con as well, because when you're working with, say, one-to-one clients, when I was a one-to-one personal trainer, even though you have freedom of what hours you work, you're also working around the hours of other people. So you had really weird hours as a personal trainer. For example, you could start at 5 or 6 a.m. before people went to work, and you'd have a huge gap during the day until 1 or 2 p.m. when people are on lunch break, and you'd have another 4 or 5 hour gap, and then you'd have your clients in the evening. So that was the pro and the con. I am a terrible employee. I love having full reign of what I do and having direction. I love being able to visualize where I want my business, or even when I was self-employed, or where I want my company to go, and then being able to work towards that. That doesn't lend itself as well to a company as to being an employee, unless you're a CEO of a company. So I love having full control, but the con of that is you have full control. It all falls on you. So if you make a mistake, or you have a problem, or the business goes under, it's on you. So you have to take full responsibility. But again, at the end of the day, to get freedom and to be able to do the things you want to do, it normally comes at the risk of security, because they're a totem pole. To have freedom and security, you're normally giving up one. So to have more freedom, you have less security. To have less freedom, you've got more security. That's the difference between being self-employed, running your own business, or being an employee in general. Next question. What was your original business mission goal, and how has it changed? It has changed probably massively from the beginning to now. So in the beginning, my original business goal was to just not be working another job and to be able to be in a gym full time. That's all I wanted to do. I just didn't want to be working as a teacher or doing another job. I wanted to be full time in a gym and that to be my job. That was all I strived for initially. And then what happens is when you hit that and you get there, the bar moves. And then I've been very fortunate over the last 4 or 5 years, my book hitting the bestseller list, and to have sold as many copies as it sold, my podcast to be number one, the amount of people coming through my programs. My mission has massively changed. I put in my book, The Fitness Mindset, that one of my goals in life, and as cheesy as it sounds, is I want the world to be better because I was here. So every decision I make is based off of that. One of the reasons I put out all this free content, and by all means, I've got loads of people coming through my programs because it's giving an exact blueprint of what you need to do around your specific goal. But one of the reasons I give out loads of podcasts and videos and Q&As is I want the world to be better because I was here. That's the end goal. So the directions and the actions that I take are in alignment with that end goal. My mission now is to help and serve as many people as I physically can. So it changes and your bar moves. And I'm sure if I did the same podcast or interview in 4 years' time, it'll have changed even more. It'll have scaled up. But right now, once upon a time, all I wanted to do was be working in the gym and not be teaching. And now I want to serve and help as many people on the planet as I can. And I'm sure that will evolve and move forward over the next 4 or 5 years, because the bar constantly moves when you hit the targets you set. How do you approach market research? I approach market research by having a ready, fire, aim approach. So what happens with a lot of people, and the biggest mistakes they make, is they spend all their thinking time trying to get things perfect, and that never happens. When you're waiting for all the lights to be green, you're never going to get started. You're better to have something, like, done is better than perfect, because you can change it. So when I'm doing market research on a new product or a new program or whatever it is, I literally get the minimal viable product. I get it as good as I physically can, as fast as I physically can, and then I test it with beta groups. So if I'm bringing out a program or a new program, I'll test it with a beta group of 20, 50, 100 people and put them through it, and then off feedback, change it on what they said. Well, this was good, this was bad, this could be better, and then I'll make the adjustments as I go along. And then my flagship programs, which is my top 50 program, which will soon be the BKF 90 program in February 2018, my GA Lean Body program, my flagships, you're mastering them, and then you're remastering them, and then you're remastering them based off feedback and how you can make it better. And then you're changing it with each person. One of my biggest things that have been able to help with my business, and my mentor used to always say to me, that to have a very successful business, you need to be able to scale the unscalable. And that's what I do with my programs. I have coaches working on my programs and people coming through, and we try and change it, alter it, make sure that every person that's coming through, the nutritional plan is fitting into their lifestyle, it's fitting into their schedule. We're working around any injuries, any lower back pain, any knee injuries. We're changing the training program around that, and you're scaling the unscalable. So instead of having 5 people come through and changing the program and being able to stay on top, you have 500 people coming through, and you're able to schedule it and personalize it and make it work for each individual person. When you scale the unscalable, you can reach incredible heights. And market research comes down to the fact that it's just get stuff out there, ready, fire, aim, and then adjust it and make it perfect as you go along. Because if you go through a business waiting for all the lights to be green before you start, you never get started. How do you plan to compete and outdo your competitors? I don't really ever take into account what my competitors are doing. And to be honest, I actually never really see competitors as competitors. Anyone else that's a personal trainer or is in the fitness industry or is in the nutritional area of providing service or programs, I love seeing more people do that. Because at the end of the day, my end goal, the same with anyone that loves the fitness industry, is to just make sure people are coming through or feeling better, becoming better versions of them. They're getting the body composition they want, they're changing their body composition, they're following nutritional strategies that are giving them more energy. And I personally don't care if someone comes through my program and gets that, or comes through the free content I give and gets that, or comes through a different trainer's program and gets that. As long as they're getting to the end goal and they're becoming a better version of themselves, I personally don't care how they do it. So in terms of outdoing competitors, I really don't care what way people get to their end goal, as long as they're getting there. It doesn't have to be with me or my coaches or my programs. As long as they're making the world better and making people feel more confident in themselves, I don't really care what they're doing. I also don't know what they're doing. If I really had to go into the competitor side, the only strategy that I have is I want my free content to be better than people's paid content. And that has nothing to do with my competitors. That is more to do with me wanting the world to be better because I was here and trying to help and serve more people. And down to putting out incredible free content, or subjective incredible free content, as much as I try and make it as good for people as I can, I try and make sure that that's better than people's paid content. Because some people can't afford programs. Some people can't afford to do 12-week programs or 6 weeks with a personal trainer or whatever it is. And I want those people to be able to hit the targets they want and to be able to do the things that they want. So if I really had to go with a strategy, I try and make my content, free content, better than people's paid content. What would you look for in a business partner? For me, I would look for in a business partner someone who has the opposite specialties and strengths to what I have. So for example, I'm aware that I have a good ability to break down information and to speak, and I'm also very, very able to pull future visions into present reality and be able to see the bigger picture on where I want the company and business to go. So I, in a business partner, would look for somebody who's very, very good at the day-to-day and getting stuff to be sustainable. I love building new programs and getting things started and doing all the vision of exactly how it will work and then marketing it, pushing it out there and helping more people. But what happens sometimes is I get shiny object syndrome, where I'll start something and by the time it's nearly finished, I end up losing interest in it and then I move on. So in a business partner for me would be someone who would complement that, that is very good at taking things from 80% to 100% and then constantly perfecting it when I'm moving on to new projects or I'm trying to pull future visions into present reality. But that would be my advice for anyone looking for a business partner, is find somebody that has the opposite strengths to you and then merge them together. What advice would you give to help people use their time more efficiently? Get very, very aware of the things that are the most important and don't fool yourself into being a busy fool. For a long period of time, I would be constantly busy. And anytime anyone would ask me, I'd be like, no, I'm really busy, I'm really busy, I'm really busy. And I realized that that was just a kind of a self-fulfilling ego trip of, well, I want people to think that, oh, look, I'm really, really busy. And the truth was, I was busy, but I wasn't productive, because you can be busy and not productive. You can do 12 hours of work and not get anything done. So one of the things that really helped me change was understanding that there's a big difference between being busy and being productive. And now I don't focus my time on being busy. I actually go to the opposite and try not to be busy, but I try and be super productive. So one of the things that really helps me with my time is I split my day into three different sections. There's a great book by Gary Kelleher called The One Thing, and he talks about that when you do one thing, we all in each day have some task that we need to do that if we do it, our day will be a success or it'll make everything else irrelative whether we do it or not. And I break my day into three different sections. I have my to-do list, which has my one thing, it has my one thing, and then it has everything else that I'd like to achieve that day. Then I've got my content, which is all the stuff I'm pushing out on social media. And then I've got my brand building stuff, which is my Q&As and the stuff that I love to do more than anything else. So I manage my time efficiently by being productive in those time periods. I know I'm very, very productive in the morning. I get a massive slump during the day, and I can never create anything that's takes a lot of required thought. So I'll do emails and reactive work from 1, 2, 3 p.m. because I know I'm not as efficient at those times. And then I get a second surge in the evening at 4, 5, 6 p.m. So if I have more creative stuff I want to do, I'll do it in those hours. Being time efficient is about blocking off the time, understanding when you're most creative and then when you need to be reactive. So your creative stuff, your videos, your writing, for me, what my creative looks like, and then my reactive, my emails, my messages, doing those in time periods when I'm not being in my most creative. And time efficiency comes from being productive and not being busy. Best experience in your career to date. My best experience, it was probably being able to hire my mum full time. My mum wasn't very, very happy in her last job just because she's been working to support me and my sister for God knows how many years. And probably my biggest, best experience in my career to date was being able to tell her, okay, leave your job, I'm hiring you and bringing you on full time. And now she does my PA work, she preps my meals, she does any of my errands, she sends off any posts, anything like that that I have. And probably my best experience to date was being able to tell her, okay, quit your job, I'm going to hire you full time. So that's probably been my best experience. In hindsight, is there anything you would do differently? Yes, I would have gone to somebody for business consulting or signed up to a mentorship program or learned more about how to run a business at the beginning. I remember I went on a seminar with Elliot Hulse, which I can't remember the exact cost of the seminar at the time. I think it was $2,000 or $3,000. And I remember it was everything that was in my bank account at the time. I remember I cleared out my entire bank account. I had money coming in from clients. I was one-to-one training at the time, and I had money coming in from clients that week. But besides that, I cleared out my bank account. And I remember hovering over the pay now button for, oh, probably, I'd say definitely 20 minutes, half an hour, and I would stop, and then I'd come out of the page and go back in. And then eventually I paid and pressed the buy now. And if I had known that I was going to get the amount of value I got out of that, now that money's came back to me 10, 20, 30, 40 times since. If I'd known I was going to get that amount of value and it would have cut my learning curve, I would have done it 2 years earlier. It was the best decision I ever made at the time because I was investing in me and it cut my learning curve crazy. And the amount of money I made back is tenfold, 20-fold, 30-fold. So if I could go back, I would have done that sooner. Who is your hero and why? My hero is my mum, purely because she gave me, it's a pure cop-out answer and a cheesy answer, but my mum is my hero because she gave me the mindset that I have to always push past any limits I have and to just do the things in my life that makes me happy. She used to always tell myself and my sister, and my sister has a PhD, she's a lecturer in Northumbrian University, and she used to always tell me and my sister, if we were happy cleaning the streets, go clean the streets. So a lot of the decisions that I make in my life now are based off, is this going to make me happy? If it is, I'll do it. If the answer is no, I don't. So that's that mindset that she's given me is the reason she's my hero. Most important piece of advice you could offer someone about to finish school and begin a new chapter in their life. Start saying yes to everything that interests you, in terms of personal interest in fitness, the gym, in sports, in architecture and drawing and music, whatever it is that looks like for you, start saying yes and going into those areas that interest you, because when you do the thing that you love, you never work a day in your life. And that's how I feel now. When I was teaching, it was a job. I always knew, and I love teaching, I love my kids, I love my school, but I always knew I was going to a job on Monday morning and I knew it was the weekend on Friday. Fitness doesn't feel like that. I don't even know what day it is now, because they all roll in together, because your life and your work becomes one and the same. And what happens is when you end up loving what you do, you end up working harder as a result, because it doesn't feel like work anymore. So the things I put out, the content I do, the videos I make, the podcasts I make, the Q&As I do, which from the outside can subjectively seem like a lot of work, it's not work for me because I love what I'm doing. So the best piece of advice I can offer somebody leaving school is to say yes to everything you're interested in now and spend the next 5 years, the next 10 years just honing the things that you love, and your path will become clear on what it is you're supposed to do with your life. So, and the last one, if you got a chance to answer these, that would be amazing. Any last piece of advice? So last piece of advice I would offer on that is, as I said, when you decide to get your ladder against the right wall. I spoke in my book, The Fitness Mindset, that you're better at the bottom of the ladder against the right wall than halfway up the ladder against the wrong wall. And that's how I was when I was teaching. I was climbing that ladder to become a principal, a head teacher, but it was against the wrong wall. I came back leaving a job and I came back and moved on. I went on to social welfare. I moved in on my mum and dad. I went back and driving my sister's little crappy 2000 Toyota Yaris. I didn't know what started every morning. But my ladder was at the bottom against the right wall 5 years ago. And now I'm very fortunate. I'm a best-selling author. I have a number one podcast. I have a business that is able to help and serve more people than I ever dreamed or imagined. And that comes from having a ladder against the bottom of the right wall. So best piece of advice I can offer is, and I will leave everybody listening to this with, is have your ladder against the bottom of the right wall, and you're going to be way better than having your ladder halfway up against the ladder against the wrong wall. So a little bit of a different one today. So I hope you got a lot of value in this. Anyone that is thinking of going into fitness as a career, or is in school or in college, or just anyone in general, I think there's a lot of value hopefully that will help. So I wanted to post this on the podcast. So a massive thank you for listening. For more information on my Top 50 program or GEA Lean Body program, head over to the website, www.briankeyfitness.com. My Snapchat, BrianK019. My YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram is all Brian Keane Fitness. And my best-selling book, The Fitness Mindset, is available on Amazon, The Book Depository, and all Dewberry bookstores in Ireland. Massive thank you for listening. Catch you all soon.